141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The fallout from Saturday's Old Firm game continues, with Callum McGregor insisting there's no hiding place for his Celtic teammate. Ryan Jack wants Rangers' attentions turned to Standard Liège, and Aberdeen and Hamilton meet tonight in the Scottish Premiership. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Roger Hanna.
Poor Hamilton Accies are bottom of the Premiership. They'll try and get off that when they take on Aberdeen in an hour's time at Pittodrie. Rangers are top of the Premiership and will look to build on their Old Firm win when they go to Belgium on Thursday night. And Celtic will try and get over Old Firm defeat against Kings Lattan in Paradise.
I think we'll still have a lot of talking points after the weekend's football, Roger. And as you say, Aberdeen take on Hamilton, desperate for a couple of points tonight. I think a point takes them off bottom of the table, so a big game up there. And I'm a bit disappointed that I've made all this way, all the miles from Motherwell, and Duncan is sitting in his bedroom. I could have just nipped up and he could have opened the window and I could have answered from there.
Trust me, I was told from a very young age not to answer the door to strange men. You would absolutely fall into that category. But yes, I am once again isolating from home. Pleasure to be on the show though, so a bit of patience might be required with us, but I'm sure it will be okay. You're left in semi-capable hands in Roger Hanna and completely incapable hands in Gordon DL. So it's not too difficult, Roger, for me to decide which one of you two is in charge in there this evening.
Well, listen, I remember the last time you were stuck at home doing the show. Not only did you open the door to a strange man, you opened it to a strange man in his dressing gown and slippers. And then you opened it to Charles Dunn of Motherwell as well that same night. So, but unfortunately, you can't have any visitors, never mind visitors of that calibre this evening.
Yeah, how things have changed,
the last
Roger.
Time we took the full show to my house once before. Unfortunately, it is just me. But it should be fine. Nothing can change. You can get in touch with us on the phone, 01419511025. And if you would rather tweet, you can do that as well. You'll find us there at Clyde SSB. It might be Tuesday night, Roger, but a game like Saturday, either way, you don't get over that in just a couple of days, do you?
No, absolutely not. I think the talk about Saturday will go on until about 5:55 on Thursday when Rangers take on Standard Liège in Belgium, and then a couple of hours later when Celtic host AC Milan. Both teams will speak about the Old Firm, the repercussions, the consequences, the reprisals until their teams play again, and that will be Thursday in the Europa League, and then the fight for the Premiership title will reconvene at Pittodrie and Ibrox on Sunday.
Gordon DL, with a couple of days now down the line, I wonder how you look back on it, if now that the dust has settled, you've changed your mind at all on how you saw the game at the time?
No, I think if I was sitting today, reactions after the game is always the same, Gordon. But when the dust settles, you look today, if you were a Rangers fan, you're delighted the way Steven Gerrard's going with his team, the way they're performing, going to Celtic and basically not even getting out second gear and win the game comfortably, which would never have been said for a long, long time. If you're a Celtic fan, you're a bit concerned. Don't get me wrong, it's still early. We're not panicking here if you're a Celtic supporter, but I think you'll need to look at Thursday night's game looking for a reaction. A difficult one at Pittodrie. Aberdeen are not bad. I watched them against Dundee United in the studio, Gordon, on Saturday, and I thought they should have won out the park. That'll be a difficult fixture. Celtic have a bit of work to do, but they've certainly got the quality in the squad to do it.
01419511025, that is the number you need. It was extremely busy on the phone lines last night. That makes me think there are still some of you out there who've got something to get off your chest from Saturday. Whether it's happiness, whether it's disappointment, whether it's something in the middle, you know the number to share it on. 01419511025. Don't hang around, let's hear from you right now. Let us know what you made of that game at the weekend, and of course what it means going forward, not only for Thursday night, but for the remainder of the season as well. Let the guys know. Roger Hanna, what was your take on it? This is the first time we've spoken to you at length since.
Yeah, my take probably wasn't much different from it was in the final whistle at the weekend. A deserved win for Rangers. Celtic were very flat Maybe there was an inevitability. Celtic were going to be flat when they were deprived of so many first pick players. Anything that could have gone wrong for Celtic probably did go wrong in the build up to the game. But all of that said, they still had a £5 million goalkeeper. They still had Shane Duffy at the centre of the defence, who will be costing a pretty penny in wages. They still had the captain, the vice captain. They still had Olivier and Cham. And they still had likes of Mohamed El Younoussi. And too few Celtic players turned up. So there's now a big decision for Neil Lennon ahead of Thursday night. Does he prioritise the league? Does he shuffle the team for the Europa League opener and focus on a huge game at lunchtime at Pittodrie on Sunday? And if he does that, what is he risking against an AC Milan team led by Zlatan Ibrahimovic and with a perfect record and sitting top of Serie A in Italy just now?
Well, I'm sure you don't want me to answer that question. That's for the listeners, 01419511025. Give us a call or tweet us at Clyde SSB. Let's hear from Callum McGregor, shall we? He admits Celtic can't hide from their derby defeat. He says they now need to make sure they bounce back. He says it's all about keeping the faith, trusting the manager and the players and what they're trying to do.
When you lose a derby game, then obviously there's questions asked, and you know we'll have to face up to that. We did it in December and you know we kicked on again, so you know we have to take that experience in terms of learning from these defeats and then trying to go on a run ourselves. So you know obviously they'll take confidence from it, but you know, we have to take confidence for the last time that we lost. We went on a good run, so we have to do these things. But you know, it's you're disappointed. I'm standing here disappointed again that we've lost at home to our biggest rivals. So you can't hide away from that in terms of you know how bad a result it is. But again, it's early doors in the season, missing a few players. So you know, we have to take heart for that. We have to say right, okay, there's more than two-thirds of the season to go and you know we've got plenty of time to call it back. We have to keep the faith. You have to trust the team and trust the manager and trust what we're doing. We've been here a lot of times before. We've got a lot of experience, so you know, like I said, there's more than two-thirds of the season to go.
Okay, let's get stuck right in. 01419511025 is the number. Ozzy has dialed it. He's calling in from London tonight. How's it going, Ozzy?
I'm good. How's it going, lads?
Hi,
yeah, not bad at all. Not bad at all. What's your main takeaway from the weekend then, Ozzy? What are you thinking looking back on it?
So, as a Rangers fan, and I probably speak for most Rangers fans, the one aspect of the game that pleased me the most was that our players now seem to show absolute disdain and contempt towards the Celtic players on the park. And I'll clarify what I mean by that. You know, under Warburton, Caicinha and Murty, our players used to be terrified. It was so blatantly obvious. They'd step onto the park in an Old Firm match and just get stomped all over. You look at the way Rangers play now. There was one move at the weekend where Goldson pinged the ball to Kent. Kent did a back heel. The ball made its way to Kamara. Kamara did a back heel. The ball comes to Morelos. Another back heel. 1-2. Tavernier volleys wide. Had that gone in, that would have been one of the greatest Old Firm goals of all time. And the point that I'm making is just that our players no longer fear Celtic at all on the park. They come, they play their own game with absolutely no fear and just express themselves. And you look at Morelos as well, mugging off Scott Brown and Duffy, Barisic on the floor, giving it Yolby to Lee Griffiths and the other Celtic players. As a Rangers fan, that's what I want to see. We really got the edge now mentally against Celtic, and long may it continue.
Ozzy, I'm wondering if that is because Rangers are just now a better football team than they were back then, rather than they have somehow mastered disdain and contempt. I admire your sense of drama, but is it not just that this Rangers side is a better football team than the ones that you mentioned previously?
No doubt it's a better football team, but look at some of the personnel. Some of the personnel have been there for a long time. Tavernier played in some of those hammerings that we used to get. I really believe that fundamental to the past few Old Firm games is this shift in mentality. It's probably down to Gerrard and his coaching staff. And you can see it on the park. It's so apparent that you know our players step onto the field against Celtic and just instantly mentally believe that they're better than them. And I really do believe it is disdain and contempt that they're showing towards them. And some of the play, you could see it pouring out of it.
No, I need to take issue with your choice of language, Jose. There's no way Rangers players are showing either disdain or contempt for the Celtic players. And Stephen Gerrard would take issue with your choice of language as well, because Stephen Gerrard wouldn't allow his players to show disdain or contempt for Celtic players, Livingston players, St Johnstone players, Hibs players. I think Rangers are showing the correct level of respect and regard for their opposition. But if you go back to the League Cup final, I think the League Cup final last year was a turning point for this Rangers team. They came away from Hampden having lost the Cup final to a Celtic team inspired by Fraser Forster. But I think that day, some of the players you mentioned there, Tavernier and others, maybe even Conor Goldson, who scored the two goals at the weekend, I think that was a day that they actually believed that they could compete on a level playing field with Celtic, maybe even play better than Celtic. They showed it again at Celtic Park in December. I actually think those two performances at the end of 2019 were better than the performance at Celtic Park at the weekend there. The League Cup final, they came up on Fraser Forster, and this time they didn't need to be as good as they were last December at Celtic Park. But for me, there's no way they show the stain.
Yeah, I agree with you, Roger. I think there's two hurdles that Rangers had to go over, and I think they've got over the first one. And the first one was the belief that they could go toe-to-toe with Celtic, home and away, and win games. And they've showed that, and there's no doubt they've got better. Their belief is a lot better as well. Their confidence is a lot better. As I said earlier in the intro, they went to Celtic Park and never really had to play at their best, which has never been known for years upon years to be a Celtic squad full of millions and millions of pounds and quality, and forget the players that were missing. The next hurdle they have to go over is the belief that they can go and win trophies. That's where Celtic was the proof in the pudding. They had that belief they could go and win trophy after trophy after trophy. Rangers need to do the same. It's okay saying going to Celtic Park and, you know, being very confident and saying it was a terrific result and how we're going down and the way Stephen Gerrard's got his playing. There's no doubt that Rangers are vastly improved. The proof in the pudding is winning silverware, and this is a big season for Rangers.
Ozzy, do you think Rangers have that level of belief now? Because in terms of winning individual games against Celtic, they managed that quite some time ago under Stephen Gerrard. Do they have that next step in them?
Yeah, I really do believe. I agree with the panellists that, you know, we didn't actually play that well on Saturday. Never stepped out of first gear, never needed to. But my concern as a Rangers fan, I think there was one omission that Rangers made in the transfer window, and that was signing a real quality right-sided midfielder on a similar level to Kent. Because right now, we're sticking Barker in there and Jones as well. Neither of them are really good enough. And if it's not them, then it's the likes of Aribo, Arfield, even Iten, who are not natural right-sided midfield players. And that's my biggest fear. We bought this lad, Zungu, who I actually think is a very good player. And I'm interested to see how he gets on. But I think the priority should have been to get in a right-sided midfielder, and that's my only fear. I think in January, that has to be the absolute priority for Gerrard.
What do you make of that, Roger? Because I suppose in a more general sense, that feeds into what Stephen Gerrard's been trying to get across in the aftermath of the game. You know, be delighted, be happy, be confident, but by no means is that, you know, a finished article or is that the job done. There will be various areas for improvement, and I don't know if Ozzy's stumbled across one of them. You can tell me.
I don't think Rangers really play with what you would describe as a right-sided midfielder, because they like to tuck a player in so Tavernier can get outside that player. That's probably what did for Daniel Candeias, if you like. So it's been Hadji tucked in, it's been an occasion Arfield tucked in, it's been maybe, you know, Barker tucked in a little bit, although I didn't think he played particularly well at the weekend. Going forward, you look at the midfield, Kamara's playing so well, Arfield's playing so well, Davis played well at the weekend. You wonder about Joe Aribo, who was Rangers' best player for the first month of the season almost. Could Joe Aribo be the guy who goes on and plays almost in that? You know, Kent's tucked in on the left. Could Aribo be tucked in on the right? And then that allows Tavernier outside him. I know the point Ozzy's making. I'm not too sure that an out-and-out right-sided midfielder or right winger will be that high up the priority list.
Gordon, how should Celtic be taking stock now with the sort of in the cold light of day, so to speak?
Yeah, I said earlier, I think there's a bit of work to do, Gordon. There's certainly a good run of games coming up, very important games, very tough games, and I think that suits Celtic. I think I heard a caller last night saying, you know, he'd rather go to Aberdeen than go to, for instance, a Livingston. I tend to agree with him in that. I think going up to Aberdeen after Thursday night against AC Milan, Celtic will know they have to put a performance on. Now, they've been picking up results, and up until the Rangers game at the weekend, the performances hadn't been great. And we know that. Hibs was probably exceptional. But performances hadn't been good, and they turned up at the weekend, and there was a lack of fight and desire and everything for Celtic for me. And Neil Lennon, the manager, says, we ran out of ideas. When do you ever hear that from a Celtic manager? So I think it's a big way. I think there's a bit of concern, but there's not panic. There's still a long, long way to go. And Ozzy was talking there about the transfer window. There's still a transfer window as well. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of important decisions made over the coming months.
Yeah, I think there'll be no panic at Celtic. Celtic have lost Old Firm games at home to Rangers before and gone on to win the league. Just look what last season does. I think the worry among the Celtic supporters this time is the manner of the defeat on Saturday. No shots on target in the league for the first time in 11 years. Players who were given an opportunity because Edward was out, Christie was out, Forrest was out, Julian was out, you can list them all up. Those players not taking the opportunity that was offered to them. I know the point you mean about going to Pittodrie. I tend to agree with the point you're making. However, they're not just going to Pittodrie. It's Milan at home, Aberdeen away, Lille away, Aberdeen in a cup semi-final, Sparta Prague away. And that's before you even get back into the league stuff again. It's quite an ominous run of results if performances don't pick up.
My point in this, Roger, is I, as a player or a manager, I'd much rather have those really big, big games coming up, because it takes that one game to just give you that lift again and kick you on, especially if you're up against good opposition. So I'd rather go down that road than face the real tricky ones that we all know. For instance, go to Livingston, down to Kilmarnock and teams like that.
Okay, Ozzy's already given us the take from the Rangers fans this evening. Celtic fans, how are you feeling a couple of days on? Let us know, 01419511025. And we're also going to hear from Ryan Jack next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. More than £1 million paid in compensation every week.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are in the studio. I am in my bedroom. Sorry to share too much information, but that's just where we're at. These are the strangest of times, Roger Hanna, and I'm just wondering if Gordon DL is behaving himself in there.
He's in here twiddling with all your knobs, as we predicted he would be. He's brought in the good coffee, he's brought in the good biscuits. Oh, he's having a party to himself.
I sent him a little photo. Did you see the photo I sent you?
Yes, it was very nice of you, all your biscuit selection and cakes and sweets that you're bragging about having while I'm stuck in here. I actually got a disturbingly dramatic message from him last night, Roger, when I opened the show last night and explained that I was going to be hosting the show from home. He texted me to say that he almost drowned in the bath when he heard the news. Two things. Firstly, that was clearly a bit dramatic. And secondly, then that left me with the image of him listening whilst in the bath, and clearly that's not what anyone needs when they're trying to do the work.
I did change my bath night. It's usually Wednesday, but you know that, everybody knows that, so I changed it to Monday, and I was a bit shocked when I heard Gordon and he was doing it from the house.
So not a great Monday for you. You heard Gordon was in his bed and you used up all the matey. You had to go up to Asda this morning and get a new bottle of matey for the bath.
Exactly, mate. Carry on.
Right, we're all good anyway. We're here, 01419511025 on the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's bring in John, who is a Celtic fan. How would you sum up your feelings after the weekend, John?
I'm still sick, mate, but as I say, there's two people that's not been mentioned yet that's getting the blame. I blame the board and the scouting system. Now, a year and a half ago, we were scudding Rangers, home and away. Now, there's four guys left in that team now. It played for Brendan Rodgers. Four guys out of 11, and there's nine away. The combination, a transfer of over £100 million. And that's not £100 million, that's a lot of money for Scotland. And then we're going to the manager. The manager was getting paid about £2 million a year. One of the dearest managers in Celtic's history. and we're dropped down to Neil. Neil's lucky if he's on about maybe about 400 grand a year. We're downsized the team and the manager. And this is going to be a right long season. And it's one of the important seasons in our history. And the board is selling the short, mate. That's what they're doing. Selling the short. I was embarrassed on Saturday. Embarrassed. As I say, it's the most important year in our history. And you're getting sold short. We're going to keep her. The keeper, we had the big Foster. We've got a guy now. With Turney, we get Taylor. We've got Shane Duffy. We've got Vallata. With Dumbelli. Now we've got Edward. We can keep on and on, but they'll be seeing the 100 million and maybe more than that, and they're saying, like, oh, we'll just get our dividends, what they usually do. And the Celtic fans are sick of it.
I don't know about the accuracy of the 100 million. I don't know if we've got time to do the arithmetic. Celtic have taken in a lot of money, Roger. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yes, they have.
But they've certainly spent it as well.
They've spent a huge sum of money. Now, at the start of lockdown in March, if you had told me that within 7 months Celtic would have spent £5 million on a goalkeeper, £5 million in a centre forward, they would have brought in a highly paid centre half from the English Premier League on loan, they would have spent £3 or £3.5 million on David Turnbull, they would have spent the wages to bring El Yunusi back to the club, and all the other expense, you know, the likes of the deal for Laxalt and everything else has been done. I just wouldn't have believed you, because all of this time supporters still aren't getting into Celtic Park. There's hardly any income coming through at Celtic Park. Celtic have the biggest wage bill in the country by a distance. They're having to pay all of that as well. So I actually think the board, maybe I've called this completely wrong, Gordon, but the board have spent, to my mind, a lot more money than I thought they would make available. Now, John mentioned the words scouting system. If you then want to have an argument about the quality that was brought in for that money, then that's a separate argument. But you can't point the finger of blame at the board for the selection of the players.
You're spot on, Roger. Absolutely spot on. I know that John's an angry Celtic supporter, and I do agree, I would be the same. I don't think you can point to the board. You're talking about Scottish football here, and you look at Celtic's bench at the weekend. Forget the players it was missing. There's millions on the bench. There are about 12, 13 million pounds worth of talent sitting the bench alone. The amount of players that he's brought in the summer, I think that, yeah, if you're going to scrutinise anything, I'd be looking at the recruitment. I wouldn't certainly be pointing the finger at the board. I think the board have really pushed the boat out and spent money here in difficult circumstances. So I'm sorry, I'm not agreeing with John in that, but where I will maybe back him up is you would need to look just now, and it is early recruitment, because we're pointing fingers now, especially the goalkeeper, for instance. They're a big investment put in him, and he's come right under the spotlight for me, especially since the European game, where I thought he should have kept Celtic in Europe, to be honest. And since then, he's never shown me anything that fully confident. Duffy come up with a big reputation. Apart from a couple of headers at set play, I've not really seen a lot from that. You know, Ayeti has taken 4 months now, or 3 months, trying to get up to speed for £5 million. El Yunusi looks like, you know, he's not even a £1 million player at times. So there's players there that they've spent so much money on that are just not performing to the level that Celtic would wish they had. But there's still plenty of time to turn them around. But I don't see where John's point is, have a go at the board. There are millions of pounds in that team, and you should be getting a better performance out of them.
John?
Am I in?
Of course.
I've been following Celtic for 50 years. The board's been doing it to the Celtic fans for years. Years upon years. Selling our best players. All right, we're a selling club. But once again, you can't go for a £2 million manager to do it to 400 grand a season. I think I was a back step. I come out of Hampden the day we won the treble, and somebody shouted to me, I was in my club, I get us another drink. Hey, Neil Manning's the manager. I wasn't caring who we got that day. I was just, we won the treble, but when I sobered up the next couple of days, I went, like, oh, here, we got Neil here, but I don't think Neil's the answer. There's someone just far away, Park, he's just been there. They're arguing amongst themselves. He's turning around and telling you, hey, if you don't want to be here, you'll be getting shipped out the door. They've chased that boy for 2 years for Motherwell, and he's not kicked the ball. They're not giving the boy a chance. And another boy who plays in the midfield is Zorro. So, what do you call him? He's another one. They're signed. And they can't Is it season? The banana game is Saturday. They played the boy Walsh, but surely when they're playing Hamilton, I'm winning maybe two or three, nothing. Then they should put these boys on. All right, an Old Firm game. They're one of the biggest games of the season. These boys should be tested a 4-0 Old Firm game as well. That's an hour.
John, are you on saying this about Neil Lennon after the reaction this Saturday? Because every Celtic fan come on here not that long ago and was singing the praises of Celtic manager, saying that there was the right decision. They're talking about, yes, we doubted him, but we totally agree with the decision. Neil Lennon certainly is the man for the job. It doesn't matter if you're on 400 grand or you're on 2 million. Hold on a minute. You look at the millions of pounds on that part, right? And look at the wages that are getting spent by both teams. And one of the best players in the park was a guy that cost 50 grand. So your argument doesn't stack up. Where Brendan Rodgers is a top manager, that's why he can claim something like 1.5-2 million. Obviously, you know Celtic's wage bill a lot better than me, but I don't think it's anything to do with Celtic with Neil Lennon on 400 grand.
It's a season, Gordon. They're not kicked a ball in 10 games. They can knock out of Europe.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
It's all been back. I mean, they go to jail. They go to jail at Tannadice. They go to jail at Perth. They didn't go to jail on Saturday. They got 2-0 at Park Heath against the Rangers. It's absolutely atrocious at home. All right, the fans are in there. That's the 12th man. But it's we've got to go to Aberdeen Sunday. Then we've got to go to Murrow. Then we've got to go to Easter Road. These are not hard games. If they don't get their team quite together, you'll be behind Rangers a lot, man. What is it, 2 points or 4 points?
Four.
Just a game in hand.
You'll four be with a game in hand, Rangers, right.
And the most important year in the history. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, John, we're going to have to leave it there. That was John in Greenock. Thank you very much. 0141 951 1025. John's not happy. The old scattered gun was out. What about Brian on the line? Brian, are you equally unhappy, or have you got a more pragmatic outlook at the moment?
Well, good evening, chaps.
Hi, Brian.
I am the same as every Celtics fan who was upset at getting beat with our bitter rivals on Saturday. They won 3 points at no trophies. They set down a marker for the first quarter of the season, and I will say they were the better team, and they have been the better team from the start. But I want to address the Jones and our support. I was taught as a 5-year-old child a song that will stay with me for the day to the day I die, and I taught my own children. We are Celtic supporters, faithful through and through. We have no entitlement to win anything. And John, I'm sorry, pal. Celtic supporters should stick together, because it's easy. A great man once told me, it's easy to support a team that wins all the time. See, when the team's needing your support, when it needs your backup, when Neil Lennon came in and lifted up the gauntlet for when Brendan Rodgers was a great manager, he done what he done for his own personal reasons, and I thank him for what he done for us. When Neil Lennon came in and picked up the gauntlet, and he ran with it, and he's made the best of what, and the board, I want to put that one to bed, John. Celtic have spent a fortune, and this has been what I was told, and what I would believe, one of the best windows that we ever had. So, right now, the team didn't click. Right now, the team didn't gel. But right now, if we beat Aberdeen in the league, we go 1 point behind. We gather ourselves together, and anybody, I kid you not, Celtic, Rangers, or any other fan that thinks that this is the way that Celtic are going to play the full season, you're up a gum tree. Celtic will come back, as they did. I heard all of this rhetoric, the same from these same supporters, and I guarantee you, 99% of these guys that are coming on here and talking the way they're talking could not find Celtic Park where I sat and have.
Brian, sorry, surely John's not on saying that he's not going to support his club through this time just now because of the defeat in Saturday. John's surely a right as a supporter like you have, that supported the club all your days, to have a sort of a, you know, things aren't right and have an opinion and be disappointed. Surely as a supporter, that's part and parcel of being a supporter. Not just saying, well, we'll take everything that's thrown at us without grumbling about anything, because supporters don't do that. And especially when you look at Celtic and the standards and the amount of money and the wages. Now, look at Scottish football, you're up against one team, really. You know, so John, too, in my opinion, and if it was Rangers supporter, I'd be saying the same. You're quite entitled to come on and criticise your team, that's still supporting your club. It doesn't mean say you're not supporting them. You're criticising them because you feel that something's not right.
Well,
I understand the point Brian's making, though, Daz, because since Gordon Duncan switched on the open line at 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoon and took a first call from Stephen from Cote Bridge, there has been a sort of scattergun approach to the criticism at Celtic. You said earlier on, I think it was after during Ozzy's call, there were no panic at Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't be. Neil Lennon will speak tomorrow. One of the players will speak tomorrow to preview the AC Milan game in the Europa League. I think they'll probably speak quite well. They'll be level-headed. There'll be no sense of panic. The sense of panic surrounding Celtic has come, as Brian says, from an element of the support. It's actually surprised me, the level of panic among a lot of the Celtic supporters. Given that, as Brian says, Celtic lost at home to Rangers last year and went on to win the league. I thought there would be a lot more bullish Celtic supporters in the last 3 days, making the point that I've seen this before, we've seen Rangers come and win at Celtic Park before, but we've bounced back. The likes of Brown, the likes of McGregor, the likes of Ayer, the likes of Forrest, the likes of Edouard,
but you can't
they've all gone and won the league in the past.
You can't pull the wool over supporters' eyes, Roger. I know what you're saying about bullish and we've done this and done that. Celtic supporters, truthfully, are sitting there looking at the last, you know, 10 games maybe. Forget Hibs, right? Hibs have played very well. St Johnstone, for instance, they had to use five subs to come on and claw their way out of it. Saturday, I thought, was, see if Celtic lose to Rangers on Saturday and it's a game that you say Rangers really deserve to win that because they just had that extra bit and they had a wee bit on their side that day. Celtic never laid a glove on Rangers. I was a canter for Rangers at the weekend. At no point, even when the teams come in, I will guarantee you a big percentage of Celtic supporters out there, when they've seen the teams coming into, you know, onto Twitter or wherever it may be, or on TV or radio, they thought, oh, we're in for a hard day today. And that's where
Brian,
I think
let me
supporters
ask you,
are right.
Brian, let me ask you briefly before we let you go, because we're touch and go for the travel.
Yep.
You mentioned Saturday as a sort of one-off, if you like. How concerned are you about the recent performances against Rangers, not just Saturday, but the last couple? Because even the Scottish Cup, the League Cup final, sorry, I'm sure you would accept that the performance perhaps wasn't there. Is there a fear that in these head-to-head meetings, Rangers have got Celtic's number at the moment?
Well, listen, there is no doubt whatsoever, facts are facts, Rangers have played better against us in the last three games. But if we were to take it over a 20-game period, Rangers get smashed off the park 5-1, 5-0. Have Celtic got that in the locker to do again? Absolutely, yes. Have Rangers got it in the locker to go and beat Celtic 2-0 in the next game? Absolutely, yes. But the thing is, what I'm saying is that we don't go off half-cocked and blame Neil Lennon and blame this and blame that. We had a bad day. We had one bad day. We've had a really, really slow start to the season. I haven't seen, but there's mitigating circumstances. Can Celtic gel and become, if Celtic gel and become the team that they were the season, just at the end of the season, then we'll go on and win 10 in a row. Can we do it? Yes, we can do it. Will we do it? I don't know. But the thing is, Rangers have got better. Celtic, I don't know why we're not gelling right now. That's up to the manager and his coaching staff to get it right. But we should trust Neil Lennon, because he has already given his life's blood to make Celtic what they are just now. And that is 11 titles, 11 trophies in a row. And what I'm saying is that the sense of entitlement should be gone. Do not think you're because you're Celtic, you're going to win something. You're going to get your sleeves up, roll your sleeves up, and go out there and support your team. Be a supporter. Don't be a fan. Don't be a radio fan. Don't be a Twitter fan. Don't be this. Be a Celtic supporter. No, we can't get into the ground, but you can definitely put your back to the wall and say, right, listen, here, we're under attack. Get together. Smaller. Pull yourself together. Have that break. And I'll tell you,
okay, Brian, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much. That was Brian in Stirling, 01419511025. We're here until 8 o'clock, so plenty of time for more of your calls. And we're going to get team news from Pittodrie next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. If we've learned one thing this year, it's to listen to the experts.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dale are in the studio. I am isolating at home, but thanks to the wonders of modern technology, the three of us can be together waiting for your calls and your tweets at Clyde SSB. Grant is on. He says, Celtic didn't have a shot on target due to Rangers being well drilled and coached. We do this week in, week out. The shot on target stats show this. We've done it in against top European teams. Give Rangers some credit for their work off the ball. It's aimed at you, Roger Hanna.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, we're always open to criticism here.
Go on, are you giving them credit? Are you withholding credit?
Rangers at the weekend.
Yes.
No, I said it at the final whistle. By far the better team. They won it in second gear. That's what I was saying. I actually said that to Ozzy, the first caller, today. I thought Rangers played better in losing the League Cup final and in winning at Parkhead last December. And they weren't particularly pushed. I didn't think Morelos had a great game. I didn't think Barker had a great game. But Rangers are all the good players. And the improvement in the likes of Tavernier and Goldson, I've said in the show before, I always thought it was a little weak area there defensively between Tavernier and Goldson that opposition teams used to exploit. If you look back to the goal that Edwards scored off the bench in that League Cup final, Gordon, Tavernier and Goldson are absolutely transformed as defenders. And you know, Tavernier hasn't lost anything going forward. I always thought that, you know, Tavernier was what Tavernier was. He was a, you know, good going player going forward with, you know, question marks defensively. And if you made him more solid defensively, it might take away from what he gave you going forward. I think Steven Gerrard and his backroom team have managed to get the best of both worlds out of Tavernier now. Goldson also looks a far better defender. Not sure how much of that is down to having a regular partner in Helander there. Helander looks a good, solid player. Everyone knows what a good player Barisic is. But Daz touched on it as well. The best player, Goldson's bound to get man of the match because he scored two goals. But technically, the best football player in the park at the weekend was Glenn Kamara, who at £50,000 from Dundee is an absolute steal.
Well, let's hear from one of the men who played alongside Glenn Kamara. Ryan Jack says they'll now look to back up that Old Firm win by kicking on and getting a good result against Standard Liège on Thursday. He says they need to forget what happened after their win at Parkhead last season and challenge themselves to improve every week.
Well, I would say a lot of the players are the same. A lot of the players that we've got in the squad are the same. There's obviously new additions who's came in and added quality, but I think the mentality at this club, it's just winning. It's whoever's in front of you will try to stop you, and we just have to have the mentality to go and keep turning out results and keep putting in performances. And it doesn't really matter how you win, it's about end of the season, it's about looking back and take each game as it comes, and hopefully if you do that, you'll go a long way. I think we always have a lot of challenges in front of us that when you're at a big club, a lot of games, a lot of big games, so the challenge is now to go and back it up Thursday night, European competition, and then going forward, it's every week. It doesn't get any easier. It's every week. It's, you need to turn up, you need to put in performances, and we've started the season strong, but we want to build on it and we want to keep that going. Well, you always want to get better, you always want to improve. So last year we came up short. We can't hide away from that. It's a fact. And this year the challenge is there again for us to go and forget that season, go again, go stronger, and hopefully we'll do it.
The thoughts there of Ryan Jack. Let's get the thoughts of John, who's a Rangers fan in Cambus Lang. John, the floor is yours.
Cheers, Gordon, and I hope you're at the house soon. And even Roger and Gordon as well.
Hi, John.
I'd just like to make a point that I think the board for Rangers should be applauded for batting Gerrard, considering obviously what Roger was talking about earlier on, how finances will be tight for everybody just now, but they backed him the two and a bit years he's been there. He had a 3-year plan when he came in, and maybe this should be the development of third year coming in. I know a trophy is what Rangers fans want just now, but see when you look at a bench on Saturday and there's eight internationalists on it, plus Bassey for Leicester, that shows how far we've came and since the days of Cassini and Warburton. And I'm not going to name any names, no disrespect to some of the players we had on the bench 3-4 years ago. It's like night and day, and I feel the board has backed Gerrard, and he has to deliver this season. But we've started well. I'm not going to make any predictions about, because after what happened last December, I'm big enough to know that it's only one game. But we've started the season very, very well, and we've got to maintain that momentum. And what Roger was talking about earlier on about Glenn Kamara, end of last season he seemed to go for the boil a bit, but this season he started the season well. He's making more forward passes, he's looking up, he's it's just, I agree with Roger. I don't think we played as well as we did in the last two games. We beat Celtic in the cup final, because I don't think we needed to. But it's really good for the season going forward, and hopefully we continue the form. But it's just one game at a time I'm looking at.
You made a point there that Rangers fans want a trophy, John. They don't. Rangers fans want the league. If Rangers didn't win the League Cup, didn't win the Scottish Cup, didn't get beyond the groups of the Europa League, they just want the league. They want to stop this Celtic quest for 10 in a row. Steven Gerrard knows that. The players know it. It's interesting you speak about, you know, the 3-year plan. Alec Ray sort of touched on it in the show last night as well. This is Rangers into the third season, and this is the most important season, not just for Steven Gerrard, but for all the players, for everyone involved in this sort of 3-year plan, if you like. This is the season when they need to get it right. Steven Gerrard, I think, knows it, and you can almost see from the players. Tavernier, as we mentioned, Goldson, guys who have been around for, you know, the entirety of Steven Gerrard's tenure, now look as if they are the type of player that the Rangers fans want to see in a Rangers shirt. The next test for them, because they've shown they can beat Celtic, they've shown they can win at Celtic Park, they've shown they can perform well in Europe, the next thing for them is to show the consistency, not of cup winners, to show the consistency of league winners.
Gordon Dale, there's a lot of focus on, can Rangers sustain this? Will they fall away? And most of it seems to be based on, because they've done it before, because they did it last season, they did it the season before, they went to Dubai and didn't come back the same side. But is that ignoring how much deeper and stronger this Rangers squad is to previous seasons? As John mentioned, you always look at the bench on a match day as a sign of how deep the squad is. To have Ryan Jack starting the game on the bench, Joe Aribo starting the game on the bench, Leon Balogun there, Kamar Roof not even in the squad yet, that must give Steven Gerrard a lot of confidence that collapse that we've seen in previous seasons might not happen.
Yeah, and plus the fact you heard Ryan Jack there in the interview saying that, you know, they fell away last year, come up short. So it's in the back of their minds that they know they have to perform at the same level week in, week out. Every single game's so important to them. You can't fault them the way they've started. I also think that the manager's helped in the sense that he was a manager that had never, you know, apart from under-18s at Liverpool or under-21s, whatever he may call it, but he hadn't been a manager. He hadn't had to go out there and make big decisions in the dugout. Whereas he's 3 years into now his tender at Rangers. And the experience you get from that, the mistakes that he's made before, he knew he had a game plan. He wanted a stronger bench. He wanted competition in every position. He's achieved that. And so far, it's working very well. But he knows, like everybody else, when you look over at Celtic, yeah, things at the weekend didn't go particularly well. But the squad that they've got is very capable of really, you know, coming back and biting them. So he knows that his players have got to be on the ball every single day in training and every game. And to be fair, I'm looking at them. Can they go the distance this season? As in really take it to a fight if Celtic even find that form that I'm sure we can, we know they're going to get? I think they're well equipped for it.
John, thank you very much. My apologies. We'll have to leave it there because we're tight for time. We do have a game in the Premiership tonight, more than 2 months after it was meant to go ahead. You'll remember Scottish football got a row off the Scottish Government. Aberdeen welcoming Hamilton Accies finally. Here's Dave Galloway.
Thank you very much indeed, Gordon. Well, Aberdeen have pushed all thoughts of back-to-back clashes with Celtic out of their minds to focus fully on Hamilton's visit. The Dons are looking to be sharper in front of goal than they were in Saturday's draw at Dundee United when they failed to capitalise on their dominance. A win this evening would see them climb to third place. Accies, though, come here bottom of the Premiership on goal difference, and with keeping a clean sheet certainly an issue for them, something they've not managed in the previous 8 league and cup games. However, they did show show. Lots of spirit at the weekend and character and grit and determination despite losing 5-3 to St Johnston. And a victory would see them rise a couple of places in the table. Aberdeen have two changes. Ryan Edmondson and Dylan McGeoch are in for Conor McLennan and Ross McCrory. It's Joe Lewis in goals. Ash Taylor, Andy Considine and Tommy Holborn at the back. Midfield, Ryan Hedges, Lewis Ferguson, Dylan McGeoch and Johnny Hayes. Up top, Marley Watkins, supported by Ryan Edmondson and Scott Wright. The substitutes bench is interesting. Woods, Logan, Ojo, McGinn, McLennan, Cosgrove, Lee, McCrory and Kennedy. As for Hamilton, a couple of changes for them. Will Collar and Ronan Hughes replace David Templeton and Kyle Munro. It's Ryan Fulton in goals. A back four of Lee Hodgson, Hakeem Odofin, Sean Wants and Scott McMahon. Midfield, Scott Martin, Ronan Hughes, Ross Callaghan and Will Collar. Up top, David Moyo and Marius Ogpo. Substitutes for Accies tonight: Gourlay, Stirling, Easton, Trafford, Stanger, Mimno, Callum Smith, Owolabi and Johnson. And the match referee at Pittodrie, perfect night for football, Nick Walsh.
Great stuff, thank you very much to Dave Galloway. We'll keep an eye on that game in the remainder of the show, but first let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
OK, Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to win a signed ball if you can beat Gordon DL or Roger Hanna. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you, but you need to be quick because the lines close at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. For an unpredictable world, talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here waiting on your calls and your tweets. We spent the first hour looking back on events at Celtic Park on Saturday lunchtime. We're underway between Aberdeen and Hamilton. It was a 7 o'clock kickoff tonight, still goalless in that one. We'll keep an eye on that match, and there's plenty more being said about what should or shouldn't happen in the event of games being cancelled due to COVID. So plenty more to come between now and 8 o'clock, but first let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, it's Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to come on here and embarrass Gordon DL or Roger Hanna and win yourself a signed ball in the process. Let's find out who tonight's contestant is. I hope I've been fed the correct... Yes, I have. I've got it. It's a bit difficult, you see, logistically, when I'm not in the studio. But Terry is on to play Beat the Pundit tonight. How's it going, Terry?
Not too bad, Don. Not too bad. How are you? How are you?
Not bad at all. Terry, I know you'll be disappointed after the weekend. Is this your way of cheering yourself up, trying to get a victory on Beat the Pundit?
Hopefully.
Something like
shocking.
That. Good.
Absolutely shocking. I thought that I don't know. I just couldn't believe it was him. Didn't seem any fight, and you know, and it's unbelievable. Steven Gerrard and Rangers, good luck to him, you know, and the outfox in every department. I just tell you, like, no shots on goal.
Well, let's see if you've got any fight. Let's see if you've got any fight in you in tonight's Beat the Pundit, Terry. I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, you will take on Roger Hanna. And if it's tails, you will be Gordon DL. Now, the beautiful thing is, I know exactly what's going to happen here, Gordon. You know it as well. I'm going to toss the coin. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tails. You're going to need to play, and then you're going to accuse me of fixing it because I'm at home and you can't see the coin.
You've just read my mind, yeah?
But well, we just get out of the way.
I'm sure you'll send me a WhatsApp.
Right, let's see, we've got heads, it is Roger Hanna, and tails, it is Gordon DL. And it's heads, it's Roger Hanna up against Terry, calling in from County Down this evening. Terry. Now remember, Terry, Roger knows his stuff, but he starts on -1, okay? So you've got a wee head start.
Right, okay.
Good man. Oh, he sounds a bit nervous now. Let's give Roger some Clyde 2 to listen to. Whoever is in there pressing the buttons, can you press the right one and make sure Roger can't hear us? Right, I think we're good to go. So, Terry, you know the drill. It's pretty simple. Answer as many questions as you can. I'll put 30 seconds on the clock, and if you don't know it, pass quickly and just move straight on to the next one. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Good man. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who was the most recent Scottish manager of Aston Villa?
Alex McLeish.
What city would you be in if you were at Forth Bank Stadium?
Forth Bank.
Pass.
Which former Hearts player is the manager of Cove Rangers?
Pass.
What nationality was former Rangers player Jonathan Johansson?
Danish.
Which English side does Scotland's Chris Maguire play for?
Derby County.
Okay, let's bring back Roger Hannah. They were quite tough tonight, Terry. Let's bring back Roger.
We bet the Eurythmics and Clyde 2, Gordon, magic.
Great. Well, you're stuck with me now, I'm afraid, for the next 30 seconds or so. You've been over this many times, Roger. You know the drill. We'll put 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who was the most recent Scottish manager of Aston Villa?
Billy McNeil.
What city would you be in if you were at Forth Bank Stadium?
Stirling.
Which former Hearts player is the current manager of Cove Rangers?
Paul Hartley.
What nationality was former Rangers player Jonathan Johansson?
Finnish.
Which English side does Scotland's Chris Maguire play for?
Sunderland.
Name either scorer the last time Celtic beat AC Milan.
Scott McDonald.
Okay, okay. Terry, how do you think that went?
Very badly. The last time was on the Gun Roger as well. It's home for Gordon tonight.
Well, I'm well.
Let me just tell you, I was hoping for you.
only kidding, big man, only kidding.
No, you're not.
No.
Why would you be? Right, let's find out.
That self-isolation is causing problems for you, Gordon. Exactly. You couldn't ask those questions any slower.
Let's find. I'm on a delay here, you see.
Hi.
Let's find out exactly what damage has been done. Yeah, I don't know what sort of delay Terry's on across the water. Maybe we can blame that. Right, first one. What was the most recent Scottish manager of all time? I'll tell you what, Roger, you can blame the delay all you like. That's the worst answer I've heard from you on Beat the Pundit.
I got it.
Go for it.
Paul Lambert.
There was Alex McLeish. It certainly wasn't Billy McNeil.
Kevin McDonald as well. No, I just had a blank.
Aye, I noticed that. That's one word for it. Right, it was Paul Lambert, but lucky for you, Terry didn't get it either. So Roger's still on minus. You might see a theme developing here as we go on. What city would you be in if you were at Forth Bank? It is Stirling. Roger gets it, so that's his minus one ruled out. We're now on 0-0. Which former Hearts player currently manages Cove Rangers? It is Paul Hartley. 1-0, Roger Hannah. I mean, you weren't a million miles away, Terry. You said Jonathan Johansson was Danish. He's actually Finnish. Insert bad radio phone-in joke here about him only being 34 or whatever he is. So Roger Hannah goes 2-0 in front. Which English side does Scotland's Chris Maguire play for? Sunderland. Roger Hannah 3-0 in front. And name either scorer the last time Celtic beat AC Milan. You had the choice of Stephen McManus or Scott McDonald. Roger Hannah gets it. He got 5 right. We take one off him. A 4 for Roger Hannah. Terry, it was a 0 for you.
Unlucky, Terry.
It's not been a good few days, has it?
Terry, you could.
Who showed less fight, Terry? Celtic on Saturday or you on Beat the Pundit?
Well, probably me. probably we're on a par. At least I got.
Well, none of you had shots on target, that's for sure. Terry, do you know what though?
Again, I was minus one. See, I'm minus one down then.
Exactly. It's easy when you're playing along at home, Terry, and there's no pressure. Know, it takes a brave man to come on and give it a go. So hard lines.
Sure, it's a bit of crack, and it's a bit of fun. Sure. Listen,
good man.
So
see you later. Thank you very much. That was Terry in County Down. The worst of it is I can hear the family in the background. They're going to be ashamed of him. They're going to be disowning him.
He'll be sent straight to his room. Imagine having the cheek to say, oh, I was home to get Gordon, he gets a duck.
To be fair, that
come on.
Both can be true at the same time.
Oh, Terry.
Surely. How many of them would you got?
Please phone in on Tuesday. Thursday, sorry.
How many would you have got there?
I get 4, Gordon. The one I get wrong was Chris Maguire. I didn't get Sunderland.
Is it really the right time for you to be bragging? Did you not get beat twice last week?
Yeah, and I was home for Terry tonight.
Right, okay. 01419511025 in the phones at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's just check in with the game that's underway at the moment. It's Hamilton Accies visit to Pittodrie. It is goalless in that one at the moment, so we'll keep an eye on things. Like I mentioned a few moments ago, plenty more being said about what should or shouldn't happen in the event of games being unable to be fulfilled due to the COVID situation. St Mirren very much in the spotlight at the moment. Kilmarnock have been previously. St Mirren are not very happy about comments made by Motherwell's coach Maurice Ross. And of course, the game that's on tonight is only on tonight because it was postponed 2 months ago, thanks to the Scottish Government giving us into a bit of trouble. So that situation still bubbling away in the background. We'll take a look at that in the near future. Let's go straight back to the phones, though, and bring in Bill, who's on the line tonight. Bill, what's on your mind?
It's relating to the game at the weekend, the Celtic Rangers game. I think the problems which Celtic are experiencing can partly be traced back to the end of last season, when they let Gordon Hayes and Simunovic, let them go without adequate replacements coming in. I think as far as the last game it was played, Rangers had 10 out of their 11 players who had been playing together for over 2 years. Celtic had 5 players who have played together for between 1.5 years and more. Also, Celtic are overloaded with international players when compared to Rangers. I think the goalkeeper is poor and should be replaced with Scott Bain until such times as he becomes more familiar with his defence. And by comparison, Rangers' scouting system is going to be more effective than Celtic's with less money to spend.
Roger.
Yeah, Vasilis Barkas, I don't think he covered himself in glory. This was his first big examination, if you like. He seemed to get to Conor Goldson's first header and not really keep it out. And the second one, he was caught flat-footed when Goldson netted the rebound after Shane Duffy had blocked the initial effort. So I can understand, you know, I was going through to Livingston for Super Scoreboard for the game on Saturday, listening to you guys talking about it, and I think it was Alec and Daz were sort of agreed that Barkas could have done and should have done better for the first goal. I think it's a bit premature to say take him out of the team. If he's going to get used to playing with, you know, a back three or a back four, whatever it is, Celtic select, the best way of doing that is on the pitch. I didn't think he was the only Celtic player to fall beneath their normal standards on Saturday, and it's up to Barkas and others to come through this difficult spell of form.
Just to pick you up on something though, Bill, you said that, you know, Celtic were overloaded with internationals compared to Rangers, but I'm not sure your arithmetic quite stacks up. I mean, out of Rangers' matchday squad on Saturday, at a glance, I think 11 or 12 of them were away on international duty, so I'm not sure that's entirely accurate.
When you talk about the team that was actually on the park,
yeah, I think it was six.
McGregor,
well, yeah, six of Celtic's players, six of Celtic starting 11 were away. Bill, sorry, I'm trying to do the numbers, Bill. Six of Celtic starting 11 were away on international duty, and five of Rangers starting 11. So there's not much difference.
I don't know how you can say that.
Bill, hold on, Bill. Bill, this is not some bizarre opinion of mine. I've got the team in front of me. Barkas, let's count them together then. I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. Barkas, Duffy.
Duty.
Yep, that's why I mentioned them. Barkas, Duffy, Ayer, McGregor, El Yunusi, and Klamala was away, I think, with the 21s for Poland. On the other side, Rangers, Helander, Barisic, Kamara, Davis and Morelos were all away. So it's pretty similar. What do you mean, no?
Your argument doesn't stack up, Bill, does it?
No, to be honest with you, I still think that by and large Celtic had more players away, and the fact is that
Rangers have been told
together for over 2 years together, and Celtic have cobbled a team together with players. Okay, a lot of players have cost a lot of money, but if you take five or six players out of Rangers' team and throw in five or six players who don't normally play together, Rangers will not play nearly as well.
I'm struggling to find an answer for your question, Bill, because one, your international query doesn't stack up, to be honest, apart from, right, one. If that's your best excuse about the performance, then I think
you're
struggling here. Because it doesn't stack up, let's be honest about it. I thought you maybe have come on and used the excuse about key players missing, i.e. Edouard Christie, probably stacked up a lot better. You've just got to admit sometimes that Celtic had a poor day, but Rangers were far better, looked far more organised, whether international players or not.
Don't disagree with that at all. I think Rangers were by far the more superior team. But what I'm trying to get at is the fact that if you're
playing together for over 2 years, you're obviously going to be more effective than players who half of the team have not played together. And I think
I think that is fair. I think that is fair, Roger. If we look at the continuity that Rangers have, not necessarily in even just in personnel, but in terms of their jobs and their roles and their functioning, and they seem to be very comfortable in what they're doing at the moment. And I'm sure even the most optimistic of Celtic fans would concede that the 3-5-2 and trying to find the right personnel within that, combined with dealing with all the absentees, Celtic don't have that settled look at the moment.
No, they most certainly don't have a settled look. There is a new goalkeeper that, you know, Shane Duffy's reasonably new to the team. Stephen Welsh is very new to the team coming in. Diego Laxalt at left wing back was just making his debut at the weekend. So there is a new look to the Celtic team. I don't think we've ever seen a Celtic team with Klamala and El Yunusi paired up front either. But that said, and the boys made the point as we were watching the game unfold on Saturday on the show, Gordon, there were enough players of experience, of previous winning mentality in a Celtic shirt on that pitch. Brown, McGregor, Incham, Ayer, people like that, even El Yunusi, who had success with Celtic on loan last season, they should have played better than they did. And as you said at the weekend, as you said again last night, this has been the pattern for a few weeks now. They're playing beneath their capabilities, beneath their previous high standards, and the need to rediscover those previous high standards. Otherwise, you know, the season can begin to unravel very quickly for teams.
Bill, thank you very much. I do appreciate you calling in. As always, that was Bill on the line. You missed a goal a couple of moments ago, about 5 minutes or so ago now. Aberdeen are in front. It was Ryan Hedges with a whipped corner. Tommy Hoban broke free in the box, headed into the net from close range. It's been a tough old time for Hamilton Accies, and that tough run continues at the moment. We're approaching the 20-minute mark there. Aberdeen 1, Hamilton Accies 0. Right, this is where it gets serious. Whoever is in that studio, whoever is keeping an eye on things,
I'm here.
I am deadly serious. I'm going primary school teacher here. Confiscate Gordon DL's phone for the next 40
I'm
minutes.
I'm important message coming in. I've not got there Twitter, so how am I? And I won't Google.
There is no way you can be trusted with a full-time teaser when I am not in the studio.
100%.
Absolutely no way.
They call
no
me
chance.
Honest, Gordon. Never cheat. No, okay, no, I've been married three times. That might not stack up. Right, okay, go for it.
Right, I think the less said about that, the better. I don't want to get you in any more trouble. So whoever's in the studio, keep an eye on Gordon, because we've got a full-time teaser coming up next. If you've got good knowledge of Scottish clubs in Europe, I think you'll be all over this one. I'll give the guys the question after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. More than £1 million paid in compensation every week.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are in the studio. I am some 25 miles away in my bedroom, which means the chances of Gordon DL cheating on this full-time teaser are absolutely through the roof. I'm suspicious enough of him when I'm in the studio, never mind being here, so this could go horribly wrong. Promise me, Gordon, you will do the honourable thing.
I'll tell you what, I never get it on a Tuesday night because the question's so hard with Roger. I'm now taking my phone physically and putting it over there where I can't reach it. Correct,
put it
guys?
Over there. I think the audience have got some other suggestions as to where you could put it, but over there won't do.
Unfortunately, for that's for later on.
What about the other phone?
Right, is it still 1-0 to Aberdeen, Roger Hanna as well? I think it is.
I don't know, I've not got my phone.
Very good. Oh no, it's not. It's 3-0. Shows you how up to date I am when I'm at home. Ryan Edmondson has just got his first Aberdeen goal to make it 3-0. I told you Tommy Hoban put them in front, and former Accies player Lewis Ferguson, a 25-yarder to double the lead before Ryan Edmondson made it 3. Roger Hanna, I've been a bit worried about Brian Rice recently. I'm feeling pretty sorry for him because he's had a tough time with COVID. Results haven't been going particularly well. He seems to be speaking regularly about how tough he's finding this season. And to be fair, they were 3-0 down at the weekend and made a right go of it. But I just wonder if they can do that again tonight.
They're in desperate need of a result. In the last, this is 7 successive seasons, Accies have been in the top flight. I think it's a record for the club, Gordon. And each season, they go through a spell like this where they're bottom of the table and you think they're struggling and you think the bubble's about to burst, if you like. And then they get a result. They always seem to get a result somewhere. So do not be surprised if that somewhere is St Mirren on Saturday, where they go next. But Brian Rice is in desperate need of that result that Aki's always seem to pick up, because at the minute they're looking in dire straits.
You say they go to St Mirren on Saturday, or do they? This leads me nicely onto the next point, Roger, because there's so much uncertainty at the moment. St Mirren's game with Motherwell was postponed at the last minute on Saturday. Now, none of those players will be back for Saturday. The plan at the moment, I believe, is that the game does go ahead, so don't get me wrong, but there's clearly a lot of uncertainty there. Can they supplement the team with youth players who would then have to be brought into the testing bubble, etc.? So we are still struggling with how we get our football on the go with everything that's going on at the moment.
Yeah, we are. I think some senior players may be available, because when the game was called off, was there not some of them, a bit like the Forfar situation, Gordon, there had been a fresh positive test and they were unclear as to whether some of that person's teammates were classified as close contacts or not. So I believe St Mirren are still seeking clarity over that. Some of them doubtless will be classified as close contact, and as you're seeing yourself, you therefore need to self-isolate. But
I was going to say, I know all about trying to seek clarity on that, so let's say about that.
I would imagine there would be some who would not be classified as close contact. If we can assume that they haven't returned any more positive tests, then they would be available to play. I think the initial ones who returned the initial positive tests, St Mirren hope they might be cleared to play by that stage. And then you have some of the younger ones who weren't tested last week, who are now in the testing bubble, if you like. They'll be able to play. So I think by hook or by crook, St Mirren are confident they'll be able to get the 13 players that they require to fulfil the fixture this weekend when they couldn't fulfil it last weekend.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll set up your question, then we'll get back into that discussion, because I'm going to give you as much time as usual. Thank you to Martin, who sent tonight's question in, fulltime@clyde1.com. That's the address you need if you want to hear your question used on the show in the future. I think this is a really good one, a good mix of semi-easy answers and some tricky ones as well. Martin says, can you name 12 players that have played both for and against Celtic in European competition? So we're looking for 12 players who've played both for and against Celtic in European competition. Any that spring to mind?
For and Arteta.
Gordon, I speak in behalf of all the listeners. Can he please have his phone back?
Give me your phone. Is that not right?
Michael Arteta,
that could be
Rangers.
The worst yet. I thought
Rangers and Celtic. Did you not say Rangers and Celtic?
No.
No. At no stage did I mention Rangers.
Oh,
what about
right.
What about Henrik Larsson?
The obvious one, Henrik Larsson, now, Barcelona.
There's one that played against Celtic while he was a Celtic player.
Uh huh.
Mo Bangura.
Mo Bangura, remember that? Yeah.
Oh,
I suppose the same would be possible. Diego Laxalt, he is eligible, is he not, to play against AC Milan?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Yes, there we go. So the roles could be reversed on that one. Mo Bangura and Henrik Larsson, surprisingly, no Mikel Arteta on the list.
Gordon, my apologies. I thought you said Rangers and Celtic. I thought it was great answer. I'm trying to think. Are there a Blackburn or a Liverpool in there? Manchester United. There'll be an English team in there.
Is Manchester United? Could it be Liam Miller?
No.
But I'm on the right road here. Yeah. Just point me down the right road. There's an English team there. Blackburn.
No, there's not.
No, don't point me in the wrong road there. Roger, give us a line on your phone.
Right, we'll leave it there. That's okay. 12 players have played both for and against Celtic in European competition. You've got Mo Bangura and Henrik Larsson. Right, as we were saying, Roger, Scotland's ongoing battle to negotiate its way through the complications that come with the COVID situation. Let's hear from Ross County manager Stuart Kettlewell. He's been speaking about it today. He says it would be wrong to force clubs to forfeit matches because of coronavirus issues. He says everyone in Scottish football is doing their best to avoid positive tests, and that it wouldn't be fair to punish teams if they can't fulfil fixtures.
I think it's exceptionally harsh. I really do. I don't think that there's any club in Scotland at the minute that's actively out trying to get a deadly virus. I don't think there's any players that are out there seeking to have this virus. Every club that I've been to really seems to be taking the situation serious, and I think it's really, really naive to think that anybody's out there thinking anything different. This situation can happen a number of different ways. You know, we speak about us all having wives and kids at school and all of that sort of stuff, so there's any number of ways that the virus can be passed about. We speak to our players about not going into situations where you can't be in control of it, so again, that would be coffee shops, into general shops, you know, up the high street and all of that sort of stuff, where there's areas that you can't control who you're surrounding yourself with, your social distancing and all of that. There really needs to be a bit of common sense in this whole thing here, and the outcome that can have on people's seasons and people's livelihoods as well. You know, deduction of points can be massive come the end of the season.
And now we've got a mild spat brewing as well, Roger. A nice tabloid word for you. St Mirren chief executive Tony Fitzpatrick has written to Motherwell to complain about Maurice Ross's comments on the postponed match between the sides at the weekend. They were due to play on Saturday. It was called off at the last minute. Now, Maurice Ross appeared on the BBC at the weekend talking about the call-off and the effects of coronavirus, suggesting that teams unable to play fixtures should forfeit the points. Now, I'm sure if Maurice Ross was here, he would say he did explicitly say, I'm not talking about St Mirren. I'm not saying St Mirren have done this. But he then went on to talk about the potential problems. And Tony Fitzpatrick and St Mirren are not happy, claiming Ross has cast doubt on the reason for the postponement.
Yes, it's terrible somebody's getting an opinion, isn't it? Listen, Maurice Ross was just saying what I would imagine an awful lot of people linked to Motherwell supporters included were feeling, and he, you know, expressed his opinion honestly at the weekend, and St Mirren don't seem happy. It's not a mild spat, it's a full scale row, Gordon, in tabloid terms, and I don't think we'll have heard the end of it yet, because Jim Goodwin has still to speak, Stephen Robinson has still to speak, and I touched on this at the weekend. The thing for me is Neil Doncaster still to speak. What did the SPFL actually make of this? The SPFL hasn't put out any clarification as to what they were told, when they were told it, what their feelings are about the postponement, and whether an investigation could lead to any punitive measures being faced by St Mirren. It will be fascinating to see, because that could well set the tone for how instances like this are dealt with for the rest of the season. But listen, I've a great deal of sympathy for Motherwell. And I know, you know, we have a laugh about it because they're your team, they're Daz's team. Motherwell haven't played a game in the month of October through no fault of their own. They've had to take the word football out of the Motherwell Football Club title at the minute, because they're sitting there redundant. If it wasn't for three games for Scotland, Declan Gallagher and Stephen O'Donnell would have forgotten what a football was like. And I've got great sympathy for Motherwell. And I think Maurice Ross's frustration, annoyance, dissatisfaction with this latest episode just probably spilled over. And he said things that he honestly felt, but looking back, maybe he will regret saying them.
Yeah, at the same time, Gordon Dalziel, you can understand it from St Mirren's perspective and Kilmarnock and anyone else, because if they feel that they are putting everything in place that they can, and Stuart Kettlewell mentions it, these players are not really in a bubble because they're still living with wives who might have other jobs and who've got kids at school and all the rest of it. If they feel that they can't do any more and matches are being postponed because of self-isolating or positive cases, What do we do? Where do we go from here? Because with every passing case, it feels like we need to do something. Yeah. But at the same time, how can you just start doing something now and ignore the games that have been postponed previously?
Yeah, you've got one tonight. Okay, it was the government, but I do...
Yeah, that's different. I think that one is different. Let's not confuse things.
But I do think that...
And Kevin, you say that it's now 4-1 at Pittodrie.
Oh, Hamilton fight back. I do feel sorry for St Mirren, because you're right, Gordon. I think every team are doing their best to keep everyone safe and make sure that their team's available. But it's difficult times. And if we get down the road or start deducting points, I would feel really, really sorry. And I think it could end up really causing us problems in the long run. You know, I just think if we do get this season finished and you get nearer the end of the season, then relegation and winning the league and everything could come into play because of certain circumstances. It's a very difficult question, Gordon. Everybody will have their own opinion about it. I certainly am not just now saying that we should deduct teams because they can't fulfil their fixture in the league just now. I'm definitely
what
not.
What do we do then, Roger? What do we do?
I think what we do sensibly, Gordon, is you need to take each game on its merits. Now, you look at Kilmarnock, when that Friday night game against Motherwell was put off, it was put off because Ayrshire and Arran Health Board put the entire Kilmarnock first team squad into self-isolation. So Kilmarnock didn't have any players, and to an extent, the decision was, you know, it was taken out of everybody's hands. They had no players, therefore they couldn't fulfil the game. The one at the weekend for me still is less clear. It might turn out that the same thing was told to St Mirren, but we don't know that yet. We haven't actually been told that yet, that any health professionals advised St Mirren to take that course of action. We don't know that yet. So each one of these cases is different. You know, the Hibs situation was different. Alec Gogic missed a game because he returned a false positive. The St Mirren earlier situation was different because it affected three goalkeepers and they had to scramble about and get Bobby's Lamal from Hearts. The Celtic situation with ball and goalie was different because government intervened, as you say. The Aberdeen situation with the eight players who were on the night out after the defeat to Rangers was different. So I don't think you can just have a one-size-fits-all punishment for COVID-19 related postponements.
Case, Roger, that you start deducting points in from teams if they're not fulfilling their fixtures, in your opinion?
If teams are found to have breached the rules and, you know, done things unfairly or acted not in the best interests of the game, then I think there does need to be some sort of punitive measure there. Look at the Betfred Cup. Kilmarnock could have fulfilled a fixture at Falkirk, but chose not to because they didn't want to expose their younger
kids,
players. You know, Alec Dyer said they have a duty of care to their young professionals. They chose not to fulfil the fixture, therefore they were punished with a 3-0 defeat.
Okay, let's leave it there for a moment or two. Martin's question tonight: which 12 players have played both for and against Celtic in European competition? Great response to this on Twitter. You two have got Larsson and Bangura anymore?
Is Berichter one?
Dirk Berichter is not one. No.
Pookie?
No. What about, you're having an absolute mare.
What about Joe Inga Berget?
Yes.
Roger.
Any more?
Daniel Mastorovic?
No.
Massimo Donati?
No.
Compere? Must be.
No. He only played once for Celtic, did he not?
What about Harold Brattbakk?
Yes, Brattbakk. Okay, that's four. You've still got plenty of work to do. We'll get the rest of the answers and we're going to speak to, I think it's George on the line next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. If we've learned one thing this year, it's to listen to the experts.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Gordon Diehl are here. We're going to get a halftime story from an action-packed first 45 minutes at Pittodrie very soon. But before we do anything, let me apologise to George in Rutherglen and bring him into the conversation. He's been hanging on for ages. George, how's it going?
All right, lads, how's it getting on? All right.
Hi, George.
Not bad at all. Are you well, George?
I'm very well. Yourself?
Good. Yes, not good, bad. Good. On you go.
Good, good. Just a couple of points, if that's enough. I'll be brief because I know how busy you are, but obviously a response would be welcome. Just picking up for what the last caller said, which did seem like a lifetime ago, in regards to the excuses for Celtic. You know, if you're going to use the excuse that Rangers have had the squad for 2 years, then you can use the same excuse the first 2 years that Gerrard were in charge when we were building a squad. The Celtic had a settled squad. So that to me is default. Just to pick up on a few other things, is that I don't honestly think Rangers are getting the field credit they deserve. And the reason why is, I think they just did enough. And they did enough because that's what they wanted to do. It's like the old saying, a good horse knows how high to jump. Honestly, feel the Celtic went and scored again, Rangers went out the park and scored. You know, scored for the first time, Rangers went up and scored again and just went in a different gear. Rangers didn't have to go through the gears, you know, because they had nothing that they had to go and play against to go through the gears. And I want to put one more question to the panel and then come back to them if I can. Do you, everyone is, you know what I mean, do you ever think Rangers are going to win the league again? Ever? In their history?
Well, it's a strange question that, Charles. Yeah,
just answer it.
I definitely think Rangers will win the league again, yes.
Right, okay. The reason why I ask that is because all I hear is that Rangers have failed the last couple of years They don't know how to win. But that's just a cop-off. That cannot happen forever. Of course, we blew it the last 2 years. And of course, we don't know how to win trophies because we've not won yet. But we will. We will win. And I'll tell you why we'll win. There's a big difference this year. And Celtic proved it against St Johnstone, which happens when you've got a good bench. When you've got quality players on the bench, they can come on and make a difference. We've not had that the last 2 years. We've not had the last 2 years after the break when Rangers can't break teams down and they've not played well. But we've had the bench that could make the difference. I'll tell you right now, boys, we've got it this year. And I am convinced that Rangers will win the league. Convinced 100%. And if we don't win it this year, then we don't deserve to ever win it. This Celtic team cannot keep on winning trophies, and this Rangers team cannot keep on losing trophies. It's
so
impossible.
So what you're saying, George, if they don't win it this year, then they'll never win it. That's what you're saying. And, asked me the question, do you think Rangers would ever win the league again?
Well, all right, if you want to be obviously contrary about it, then fair enough, you know what I mean? But what I'm trying to say is, we'll never get a better chance. They kind of keep on using the fact that they don't know how to do it. They're no doubt. I'll use another metaphor for you. See, before Stephen Hendry won his first world championship, he never knew how to win a world championship. But once he won it, he knew how to win it. It happens to everybody. Gerrard's not won a league yet. You know what I mean? But he will win the league. He will win it. I'm convinced he'll win it. But you can keep on going back to the past if they want to keep on doing that as an excuse. Celtic are digressing and we're progressing. And that's what's happening at the moment. And nobody likes it. You know what I mean, in regards to winning the Celtic. And I believe some of the media don't like it either, to be honest with you. Do you know what I mean? Because everybody's got their favourites, you know, and that happens in any way of life. I'm convinced Rangers will win the league this year. Convinced.
Be fascinating. I actually think this weekend's very big because it'll be fascinating to see how, George, how Celtic respond. To go to Pittodrie, as I said earlier on in the show, that's the kind of fixture that you want, 12 o'clock on a Sunday at Pittodrie. I think it'll be difficult. Just everything the week will have taken out Celtic, the Rangers game, then AC Milan in the Europa League, then Pittodrie. I think it'll be a big examination for Celtic. And I think Rangers at home to Livingston's a big game, George, because...
Yeah, no, definitely.
You know what I mean? We were in here a couple of weeks ago watching the Ross County game, and Ibrox with no fans, a team sitting in, trying to defend. Look the way Livingston defended at the Tony Macaroni in a 0-0 game earlier on in the season. I think Rangers will face more of that again on Sunday. A completely different fixture from the game at Celtic Park last weekend.
They're definitely a well-organised team. What I would say, too... And it's something I actually spoke to my dad about because I'm one of these fans that did speak to everybody after we won. You know, phone my family and things like that. You know, I don't even want to talk to my family, you know. What I would say is, when Celtic have been beat before, right, and I don't know if this will make a difference, and I don't know if you pick up on this, when they've been beat after Rangers before, they went in to an international break or they went in to a winter break. So there's no really been a hangover. This is the first time I can remember Rangers beating Celtic, right, where they went and played the next week. You know, and that has happened. The last three times that Gerrard's beat Celtic, right, they went in to either a winter break or an international break, and they've had time to kind of recoup. This will be interesting because they've not had it this time. They've been beat now, and they've got another hard game right ahead of them. I'd be interested to see what will happen at the weekend with Celtic.
Well, I can't disagree with that. I think... Even the Celtic supporters will be interested to see what happens in the response. But they've got a big game on Thursday night against AC Milan first. They have to take some from that. And then Pittodrie, obviously, is a very difficult place to go. They've already... we're talking Hamilton Accies struggling down the bottom of the league. They're banged in four tonight and it's only half-time. So, yeah, it'll be a difficult game for them. I think that Neil Lennon, as a manager and his coaching staff, will be looking for a big response as well. I do agree with you, George. I think for a long time now, Rangers are set up to give it a real go and a real challenge here. And I think that Celtic, everybody concerned with Celtic, know that. But I think it's still a long, long way to go and a lot of football to be played.
Okay, George, we'll leave it there. A pleasure to speak to you. That was George in Rutherglen. We're going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid, because we've still got the half-time story to get from Pittodrie, and the end of the show is fast approaching. Let me check in at Clyde SSB. A brilliant response to this teaser tonight. Robert has given it a good go. Ian McAllister, Scott Brothers, Stephen M, David Grant, Matthew Breckenridge, Stephen Irvin. The list goes on and on. Ricky Ward. All throwing some great answers in there. The question tonight is which 12 players have played both for and against Celtic in European competition. You've got Henrik Larsson, Mo Bangura, Jo Inge Berget, and Harald Brattback.
Simunovic won.
Simunovic is one. Dinamo Zagreb.
Yes!
From the same
finally.
Nation. From the same nation. What about Mark Viduka?
Mark. Was he known as Marco back then?
I think he was.
Yes, I seem to remember that. Mark Viduka, well done.
Mm-hmm. Freddy Lundberg.
No.
Stefan Mahe.
Brilliant. Which team?
PSG.
Oh, yes. I think that's one of the trickier ones. Well done.
I just think we got a couple of the Scandinavians. What about Mikael Lustig play for Rosenborg against Celtic?
Mikael Lustig did not.
Ooh, Vidar Riseth.
No. Although incidentally, I remember bumping into Vidar Riseth when I was over at the Molde game. Remember the Chris Commons having a wee hissy fit with Gordon Dyler?
Oh, yeah, that's
right,
yeah.
But no, that's just a boring story. Sorry about that.
What
He's
about
not on the list.
George Cadet.
Yes, George Cadet. How many is that you've got?
12.
Well done.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think you've got 8, which means you've got 4 to get.
Colo Touré.
No, actually, he's not on the list.
Ah. I think the only other one Daz and I had we thought about Yuri Yanisek.
No, he's not there either. So I'll give you some more thinking time. We've got a few minutes left. As always, the full-time teaser, we give the guys about the last 30 minutes of the show to see if they can come up with the answers. So it's fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's the beauty of it. You provide the questions. And more often than not, we catch the pundits out and prove that you have superior trivia knowledge. So there we go. Fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to hear your question used on the show in the future. It's 01419511025, by the way, to get in touch on the phones. You're possibly out of time for tonight, but I'm sure you'll have something to get off your chest in the coming days, so jot it down if you need to and get back in touch with us. If you would rather tweet, you can do that as well, and you will find us there at Clyde SSB. Okay, it's half time at Pittodrie. What a game it's been in the first half. Let's get the halftime story from Pittodrie with Dave Galloway.
Halftime, it's Aberdeen 4, Hamilton 1, and what a first half from the Dons. After a bright start by Ackies, ironically, the hosts took the lead with a simple header from Hoban after a corner on 13 minutes. 8 minutes later, it was 2-0, a 25-yard screamer from Ferguson. Magnificent strike after some very nice build-up play. Number 3 arrived after 24 minutes. Edmondson with a 12-yard finish after good work by Hayes. It was 4-0 in the 31st minute. Edmondson again making his first start for Aberdeen, Cooley lifting the ball over Fulton. It appeared that the roof had well and truly caved in on Hamilton, but they did rally, they got the heads back up and they pulled one back with Moyo's close range finish after 32 minutes, and they did have a bit of a rally and created a bit of danger around the Aberdeen goal, but it looks like too little too late from Brian Rice's side. At the interval at Pittodrie, Aberdeen 4, Hamilton 1.
A 4-1 half-time score. I know that football without fans is doing some crazy things to score lines and all the rest of it, Roger Hanna, but that's quite something, a 5-goal first half.
Yeah, people will focus on Brian Rice and Hamilton, bottom of the league, looking for a result tonight and 4-1 down at half-time. But that said, hugely impressed by Aberdeen when he watched them in a 0-0 against Dundee United at the weekend. They've scored 4 in 45 minutes. I think Derek McInnes will be quietly confident about Celtic coming on Sunday.
Gordon, that's quite something. Long way back for the Ackies. You never write the Ackies off, but that's going to be
No, there's no way back, Gordon. Absolutely no way back. Plus the fact, I think there's a few injuries Hamilton have got. They've got a lot of young players, development players in that team, and that's the way they go about their business.
Right.
Brian Rice got a difficult job.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there because you've got 4 more to get on this teaser. Quick.
Team Aweah?
No, both of them, no.
Oh, God, that was my highlight.
No, I thought Sviatchenko played for Copenhagen last year. Oh, no, he didn't.
What about the goalie at the moment?
Barkas.
Barkas, of course.
Yes, Barkas. Okay. What about someone who was actually a product of the Celtic Youth Academy and went over to Russia?
Aidan McGeady.
Oh.
What about another member of the current squad?
Hurry up, because your dinner's getting burnt.
Played at the weekend, he's Norwegian.
Christopher Ayer.
Oh, yeah.
No, the other one.
Oh,
Elion
Unussi.
Yep.
Was he in the Molde team?
Yep, and the last one you're waiting on, German fullback, Mark Wilson's pal.
Andy Hinkle played for Stuttgart.
Okay, thank you very much, Roger Hanna and Gordon Dale. We are back tomorrow at 6 o'clock with Andy Halliday and Mark Guidi. We'll speak to you then.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. For an unpredictable world, talk to Thompsons.com.